Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in chapter 34 of 2 Chronicles on our journey through the Word. Have you ever watched the tennis championships at Wimbledon? Perhaps even more entertaining than the game itself is to watch the heads of the spectators as they all rubberneck back and forth between the two players. A crowd watching tennis is like a synchronized head-turning event. Of greater concern than the players getting injured, though, is the crowd getting whiplash. You might also be at risk for whiplash if you read 2 Chronicles as a spectator of the reigns of the kings of Judah. One king follows God, the next doesn't. One shuts down the worship of God, one brings religious reform and revival, and back and forth it goes. But we've trained for this propensity for whiplash by walking the back and forth of our own lives, the stops and starts, the two steps forward, one step back pacing of our own cadence in our own walks. U2 once wrote, "And I must be an acrobat to talk like this, then act like that." But towards the end of Judah's existence as a nation, it got one more reformer named Hosea. He would be the last of the line of kings who actually followed God. And verse 1 tells us that he was only 8 years old when he became king. We hear of young people being prodigies, little young geniuses who are extremely gifted ahead of their time. But Hosea was a prodigy of revival. Verse 2 reads, "And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of his father, and in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, and the carved metal images." If you continue reading the passage to verse 6, you'll notice that Hosea is a bit like the judges. He personally breaks down the pagan high places, busting up their altars, and even burning the bones of the priests on their own altars to make a point. By the way, that's where we get the term bonfire, from when they used to throw bones onto the fire. It was a total pagan practice. But in this case, Hosea is not lighting a bonfire. He's actually burning them to make a point. And he personally carries out this mission of purging Judah of paganism, as verse 7 recounts. "And then he returned to Jerusalem." You see, he did it himself, because if you want a job done right, you got to do it yourself. But there's something about Hosea that makes him even more like a judge. Like Samuel, he's very young when he starts following God. And he makes war, all-out war, on the pagan deities. Even the next chapter, which recounts Hosea's celebration of the Passover, remarks that there hadn't been one like it since the days of Samuel, drawing a comparison between the two men. So as we see the histories of the Old Testament close, we see that just like Joshua and Judges, when there was a judge in the land, people follow God when the judge is active, but they went back to paganism when he wasn't. So with kings. If nothing else, the kings in this book teach us that, like the judges, when somebody isn't ruling us, everyone does what is right in their own eyes. That's why we need the reign and rule of Christ in our hearts to be the driving force of our lives. Rather than someone laying down the heavy on us to make us conform, we need to be transformed from within. Mandating this type of reform on the surface does not deliver a permanent impact, either in our lives or in the lives of the public. Not only did Hosea tear down the pagan altars, he also builds up the temple of God. And in verse 8 through 13, we see everyone doing not what was right in their own eyes, but what was right in God's eyes. The money goes where it was supposed to go. People donated, and it went to the temple. And the laborers do what they're supposed to do. They take the money, and they work hard. In the end, however, it wasn't the temple that's the best part, or the restoration of it, that's the best part of this chapter. The best part, the shining moment of this chapter, is what they found when restoring the temple and cleaning it out. Verse 14 tells us they found the book of the law, and that was a big deal. Verse 14 chronicles, no pun intended, this momentous occasion. While they were bringing out the money that had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given through Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Shaphan brought the book to the king and further reported to the king all that was committed to your servants, their doing. They've emptied out the money that was found in the house of the Lord and had given it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it before the king. And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan, the secretary, and Asaiah, the king's servant, saying, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me, and those who are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord, to do according to all that is written in this book." Now, understand that when it says the law, it means the five books of Moses, or what we call the Pentateuch, the books of five. And most likely, it was Deuteronomy that he read last, as you do, because that was the one that Moses preached as a sermon exhorting the people to keep the law. So Hosea repents. He's troubled. Hilkiah the prophet then speaks to him and gives him God's mixed response. It's laced with both cursing and blessings from the covenant, but for Hosea, it's extremely precious. In verse 23, we find Hilkiah's prophetic response to Hosea. "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book that was read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be poured out on this place, and it will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire the Lord, thus you will say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his word against this place and its inhabitants, and you have humbled yourself before me and have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see the disaster that I will bring upon this place and its inhabitants." It was fair. And in all, this should tell us a few things about God. Number one, everything we do matters. God takes stock. He kept record of everything that Israel and Judah did for all those years when they thought nobody was paying attention. During the reigns of bad kings and good, it seems that God may allow evil to go on for a long time. But make no mistake, he's taking stock and keeping record. And this is the cool thing to remember as a Christian. Nobody ever gets away with anything, and all justice one day will be met with complete and total justice. But number two, everything we do matters. God saw everything that Hosea did and took stock. Because you were tender and humbled yourself. You know, that goes a long way. That humility and response, God sees that too. And he sees your heart. And he wants to bless you like he blessed Hosea. And Hosea made it easy for God to bless him. What about us? Are we making it easy for God to bless us so he doesn't have to go against his word? Some will tell you that what we do doesn't matter because of the blood of Jesus. But my friends, the blood of Jesus makes it matter all the more. Because in many ways, we've come to understand that if Christ wiped out my sin and wants to bless me and others through me, then what I do matters very much. My friend, stop today and ask if your response to God's word has been like Hosea. If you've humbled yourself and repented for all the ways you screw it up, like Bono from U2, if your acrobatics have been epic and your life resembles a Wimbledon competition, stop and humble yourself today and seek his face.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.